Beyond Athletic, episode 28.
I think a lot of times we think that post-workout window is just, you know, that 30 to 60 minutes following, you know, practice or a game or working out in the gym. It's not. It's a 48-hour process.
You might be smarter. Your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic.
Hello, hello, everybody. Today's another game plan session, and today's guest is Kevin Ken. He is a guest blogger on both one of the biggest paleo blogs in America and for one of the most best-selling authors for the paleo diet lifestyle in America, but also for a great strength and conditioning and fitness all around type site. And I'm going to link up all the show notes for that, but we get more into that, so you'll get those so you can write them down and visit them even while you're listening. But in today's episode, we talk about sleep. We talk about how it can increase your performance. We talk about the recovery period being 48 to 72 hours to recover from exercise and stress to your body in competition and training, and how that plays a huge role in what you do, not just immediately after your sport, but we get into hormones and how they can get out of whack. We talk about how you can sleep 7 to 9 hours, which is probably the most optimal sleep that you could ever have. We talk about how magnesium baths will help you. We get a lot into daylight and vitamin D and how you can be deficient in that. And there's ways that you can get yourself out there so that you can get this proper energy level and balance so that you can sleep well during the night also. We talk about carbs, we talk about eating, and lots of tips on that. So we also get a little bit into some exercises that you could do. We talk about squat, deadlift, overhead, just some basic moves that everybody should be able to do. So I really think you're going to enjoy this one with Kevin Ken, and look for the next upcoming episode. If you like this one, you're going to love the next episode. What's up, everyone? Ryan J. Owens here. Today's a game plan session where we give athletes knowledge to optimize their lives. Today's featured guest is Kevin Ken. Kevin, are you ready to game plan?
Hey, let's do it.
So I actually had you on because I was on BreakingMuscle.com looking up basically coaches in the CrossFit world and nutrition world, and also a little bit of yoga, because I've seen that really benefited me in the past. So, and then I came across your bio. And then, of course, when I was looking up some paleo people, because my brother is totally into that, he was just on a show recently, and he was talking about Rob Wolf, I thought it was funny that you actually write for his site also, which is kind of cool. So I want to give people a little bit of background about you. You have your master's in kinesiology, you have your bachelor's in nutrition, you're a certified holistic nutritionist, so people listening, you're going to get a wealth of information nutrition-wise from him today. You're a director of strength and conditioning at Total Performance Sports. Is that just outside of Boston, you said?
Yeah, it's literally the next town over.
Cool, and you guys have everything from elite athletes to everyday folk there, right?
Yeah.
Nice. And then lastly, you write for Breaking Muscle, like I said, which was founded by a psychologist and CrossFit coach, Mindy Ravat, and Rob Wolf's site at robwolf.com. And Rob Wolf, for people out there, he's a former research biochemist, and he's a New York Times bestselling author of The Paleo Solution. So to have somebody like Kevin come and write for him must mean that you're pretty damn good at what you do. So let's just set the mood of what we're going to go through today. But first, can you give us a quote
or belief that you kind of like to live by?
So one of my favorite quotes is a wise man will change his mind often, a fool never. And I think anytime that we're talking about, like, whether it's exercise or nutrition, it's still a science. And we reserve the right to change our minds as new information is presented in front of us, and to not stick with some of those, like, valued beliefs that we may have, you know, from 10, 15 years ago, but always changing with the times. And it's okay to change your mind and be wrong.
Yeah, I love that, actually. And I think one of the issues I've seen, because I've played abroad since 2002 and traveling the world on every continent I've been on, honestly, it's very rare to find people who are just like staying up to date and always evolving and moving forward. So I do love that. And would that tie into your, let's say, health philosophy? And if you had one, what would you say it is?
It's all encompassing. So like Charlie Francis back in the day, that dude figured it out. Like, he knew that it came down to taking care of his athletes, the sleep, the getting them massages so that their muscle tissue quality was of the highest level, dealing with their stress, their nutrition. It was an all encompassing thing. And that's why they saw such great performance. And this applies even to the general population. You know, it's January now. We have those New Year's resolutions kicking into full gear. And if people want to lose weight, it's not just about jumping on a treadmill and running and depriving yourself of calories. There's a whole slew of parameters that come about to get you to your goals.
Yeah, and this is actually something I definitely want to dive into about the nutrition and everything a little bit after. But first, because I think it's even more important, and it's one of the biggest areas that, for instance, the college listeners that we have and the pro and the Olympic even athletes have, which is sleep. And I know I listen all the time to a great podcast. It's called like the Model Health Show. And that guy is on point with stuff about sleep, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about sleep and vitamin D, just making sure your levels are correct.
So the sleep part, like, if there's anything that needs to be fixed, if somebody wants to lose weight, increase performance, that sleep is definitely at the top of my list. You know, if you take an athlete and it takes about 48 to 72 hours for the central nervous system to recover, glycogen stores to be repleted, there's a big difference between recovering in 48 hours and recovering in 72 hours. So if I can get my athletes to recover in 48 hours, I can get more quality training sessions in a block, and hopefully, you know, that little bit of a push can help them exceed expectations. And sleep is right there at the top. So there's actually this part of our brain, it's called our suprachiasmatic nucleus. It's responsible for controlling the circadian rhythm of every single one of our hormones. And it responds to a light-dark cycle. So at nighttime, hopefully, you know, we shut off the lights, we go to sleep, we get good quality sleep, 7 to 9 hours of uninterrupted sleep. We wake up and all of our hormones are going to respond favorably. However, you know, we're stuck, we sit up, we watch TV before bed, we're stressed out, we can't fall asleep. Our sleep gets interrupted because we have to wake up and go to the bathroom. Our hormones get all thrown out of whack. And then from there, it's harder to recover. Mood issues can follow, weight issues can follow. It's literally like that starting point for anybody trying to, whether it's health or performance, they need to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep in a completely blacked out room. And then once that's taken care of, we can move on to some other steps.
Yeah, there's a few things I want to highlight that you just mentioned in there. And the increase in performance due to sleep and just this recovery period, and knowing that, for instance, I just posted a recent episode about 6 tips about a healthy mind and body. And under recovery, glycogen stores, like, that was a huge thing, because I think most athletes, we don't realize how long it takes to recover. And so of course there's nutrition and hydration is in that, but this sleep part, when you talk about blacked out, this is one common mistake I think a lot of people make. And why is that necessary?
So blue light especially can be problematic, but because of that part of our brain that responds to that light dark, if there's any type of light at all and we can sense it, it kind of confuses our brain to thinking it, you know, it may still be daytime. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, it just kind of jacks up all of our hormones.
Yeah. And this could be, I mean, tied into not just like the lights in your home, but we're talking computer screens, tablets, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. they actually make these screen covers that you can get for your iPad that can help filter out some blue light. You can get some amber sunglasses that you can wear.
Which are really cool looking.
They are pretty sexy. You throw them on an hour before bedtime and help you relax. One thing I like with the athletes that are working really hard is magnesium baths at night. We tend to be deficient in magnesium anyways. It's a nice way to relax, get away from the computer screens and stuff like that. An hour before bedtime, at least shut everything down. Like, you can listen to a book on tape as long as it's not something that's going to jack up your sympathetic nervous system. And go to bed.
I love that. Hour before bed, shut it down. I have actually some athletes that I try to mentor also through an agency that I work with. And I love to tell them, an hour and a half even before, just turn everything off and dim the lights in your house if you can. If you want, turn them all out, put on some candle lights. But this magnesium bath, that sounds really interesting. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So magnesium, depending on where you look, a good chunk of the population tends to be deficient in it. But it helps aid in recovery. It helps your muscle tissue actually recover from higher intense workouts. And anything, like basically with any athlete, like when you're working out at high levels, it's that sympathetic, that fight or flight response is going on during the workouts. And if they're doing it at a high level, they're doing way more of that than they are just sitting down and relaxing. So I actually like at the end of a workout, throw the breathing drills in there so that they get parasympathetic, get some nutrition in there so that they start the recovery process. And then if you can get them in that magnesium bath 90 minutes after a workout, 120 minutes after a workout, it can just help that recovery, that parasympathetic drive, so that all their tissues, their CNS, everything can recover a little bit quicker.
Yeah. And just let's dive a little bit more into that, because you're just giving kind of a routine. And this is something that I love to help athletes understand, that these routines will help you not just recover better, but it'll keep you on the right path every day, get you towards your goals, help you become that elite athlete you want to be and stay there for a while, right? But there's one thing that I was trying to point out to a few people recently, and I'd love for you to expand on it. Tell me what you think. But basically ending your, let's say you end over here in Europe, we'll end trainings anywhere between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And what I like to do is have my recovery. Well, first I like to have my water for sure with some sodium in it. And I was learning a little bit about that. It definitely matters what kind of sodium you put in your water. And do you have anything to add to that? Like about the
diet? I haven't seen anything like that. I'd be interested if you have it, you could shoot it over.
Cool. Yeah. Because I'm going to have Stacy Sims on. It doesn't matter. I'll send you the link to it, but she was talking about that. But this, and then your recovery shake, and then making sure that you do your breathing exercises you mentioned. I don't want to kind of like glaze over that. Breathing exercises, are you talking about something like, would 10 minutes of basically normal breathing through your nose, still in a quiet environment, be enough?
Yeah, absolutely. But I actually like using the breathing because most people have a problem with that diaphragmatic breathing. And if we're trying to lift heavy weights, it's pretty important. So I used to do like breathing exercises to start, like at the beginning of a workout in the warm-ups, to help kind of fire some of those muscles and retrain that pattern. But putting it at the end of it, even if it's just like 10 breaths, you get them off of that sympathetic drive from that workout and initiate that parasympathetic, that rest and digest period, right off the bat. So the second that they're done with their stuff, a little bit of a cool down, lay down, let's do our 10 breaths, get our nutrition in, and then hopefully continue the recovery process by taking the magnesium bath, going to bed early, all that stuff.
Yeah, and then the breathing, how are you incorporating that into the pre-workout?
I actually just do, one exercise, maybe, feet up on a wall, that 90-90 position, so the diaphragm's in a good position to actually do its job. Maybe during a mobility exercise or, depending on who it is. But just a couple breaths and move on.
Nice. And the magnesium baths, are you throwing like a certain amount in there?
Nah, just like a cup or two in the bath.
Because we're talking about Europe here, man, and I'm trying to tell you, like, you want to find something like that, you've got to look pretty hard. So it matters like how much you have to get and all that. But I'll throw that all in the show notes. And vitamin D. So one of the best ways that I know naturally to get it is natural sunlight. And what do they recommend?
So depending on where you live, but you should be getting about 30 minutes to 60 minutes, of natural sunlight per day, uncovering your skin as much as possible. The problem is, depending on where you live, like I live in Massachusetts, the sun goes away for about 6 months of the year. So they actually make vitamin D lamps. They're relatively inexpensive. I've seen some good research showing to turn them on at nighttime. It can help improve sleep. However, I tend to recommend people use them in the morning to help them get out of bed. 20, 30 minutes if you're, sitting around reading, doing something, just, turn it on, sit by it 30 to 60 minutes a day. I've had some problems with supplements not raising people's vitamin D levels in their lab work. So I just recommend that people tend to get their vitamin D levels checked twice per year, and we kind of, look at those values and go from there.
These lamps, I think, are they similar to the ones that they're using for, like in Finland? I played there. I have a player there right now, actually. And at some point, they're gonna have in about 45 minutes of daylight. And so basically what you've got to do is wake up in the morning, and it's pretty much like when you're eating breakfast. You just sit there during breakfast and you stand in front of this lamp. Are these also the vitamin D lamps?
Yeah, the exact same thing.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll link up to that in the show notes. So let's dive a little bit into the paleo thing and just nutrition in general. I mean, one of the biggest issues that I see with athletes is they don't really understand nutrition in the morning, and they don't understand the nutrition immediately after really hard workouts. So let's go through morning first.
So in the morning, depending on the athlete and what time that they're actually training, I like them if, we need carbohydrates, I guess depending on the sport, but most field sports require carbohydrates for energy, and a lot of times they just don't get enough energy. Some good whack of protein with some fruit in the morning, sweet potatoes, something like that, your non-starchy veggies, 'cause those vitamins are important for recovery and actually metabolizing energy. The pre-workout stuff I don't necessarily think is as big a deal as post-workout. Like I think a lot of times we think that post-workout window is just, that 30 to 60 minutes following, practice or a game or working out in the gym. It's not. It's a 48-hour process. Like we are continually burning those glycogen stores for 48 hours. So making sure that, yeah, that getting that post-workout shake with your carbohydrates in there, important. But we need to make sure that those carbohydrates and the protein and stuff is still in line for the meals following that workout program and that workout shake.
And this is one of the things you see commonly, and I'm talking about with all pro sports here, but I want to also some college, but they will be really heavy on the simple carbs. And could you just go through, for instance, like let's say the balance of proteins and fats to carbs, and what type of carbs would be better in the evening?
So I do, it's about 4 to 1 carbs to protein for meals. But this is completely different on the athlete. It tends to be about, for the amount of carbs in that post-workout window, it's about 0.75 grams per pound of body weight. We'll do that post-workout and then another 90 minutes following that workout, 90 minutes, 2 hours, whenever they eat their meal again. But it's very individual. Like some people do better on, more carbs than that. Others, you got to tweak down just a little bit more. The simple and complex carbohydrate thing, I don't put as much weight into it. It basically, it all gets broken down into glucose. You got a good whack of protein in there. You could do, some BCAAs post-workout if you're really concerned about burning up some muscle tissue. But and at nighttime, if you're picking on whole foods, right? If we're eating fruits, if we're eating sweet potatoes, your starchy vegetables like squash and stuff like that to help you replenish those glycogen stores, there's really nothing to worry about. The food quality is going to kind of take care of itself.
And so do you think all athletes, for instance, let's say from the high school or college level to up to pro and Olympic, do you think that they should be looking at their nutrition the same as, for instance, retired or non-athletes?
Yeah, I think, the food quality piece, I think all of them need food quality in their diet. It's not just about, getting calories. Those micronutrients are important for a number of reasons too. The differences change with what their goals are. So, you know, if somebody's retired and they, you know, want to lose some weight or, you know, just maintain a healthy weight with a decrease in physical activity, you know, that carb intake is going to have to decrease along with it. If somebody's, you know, trying to peak performance in a sport, that carb intake is going to have to be increased. It's going to fuel their energy. So basically, you know, get your whack of protein. Elite level athletes are going to get a little bit more protein too. But get your whack of protein, your non-starchy vegetables, you know, eat 9 to 10 servings of those per day and let carbs fuel your activity level.
I like that. And one thing that I definitely want to get out there, because we do have some non-athletic listeners, but I think people confuse healthy and clean with organic. And do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, how do you feel about that? Because it seems like, I mean, everywhere around the world, you can pretty much label anything organic once it meets a certain type of standards, right? But
yeah, exactly. Like, I don't put a lot of weight in the whole. I mean, you know, always choose organic if you have the choice, but it just basically means that, you know, that food company or whatever could afford and followed certain minimal guidelines to get that stamp on there. Or a lot of times, like your local farms and stuff, they just can't afford to have that stamp put on there, even though their foods would be considered organic. So if you could just buy local, you know, you support the local farmers at the same time, you're probably getting some pretty high quality food because it's not traveling very far. You know, and you'll be better off.
Yeah. Let's jump back to athletes and talk a little bit more about, like, first getting into sports, because we definitely have a bunch of listeners that are between 14 and about 19, 20. And so one of the things that I was talking about with Dr. Jeremy Hoff in a previous episode was early specialization. And I noticed you mentioned that that's something that you do care about and you'd like to focus on. What do you think is a way to get around early specialization, and why it could be so bad if people do specialize so early in just one sport?
Yeah, so getting around it is tough. So, you know, trying to talk to parents about the dangers of early specialization. So basically these kids in certain sports, they just play that sport and they're playing it year round and they're playing so much of it that they develop these muscle imbalances and they're not being put in front of other movement skills that they need to adopt in order to actually be elite level athletes later on in life. And injury risk is there, mental and physical burnout. You know, and the problem is that some of these coaches are just driving into these parents' heads that they need to just continually play that sport in order to be successful at it later on in life. I think the key is to try to get these kids at a younger age, maybe right before they start getting into those competitive levels, and get them, you know, body weight stuff, just getting them developed to take part into a strength and conditioning program. And too often too, I think like our strength and conditioning programs for this age group, it's not geared towards the bigger picture. It's always 8 to 12 weeks at a time. When a freshman in high school, I don't care what sport he plays, this is a developing athlete. He needs to build that strength base. Whether he's a golfer, a football player, like he needs to be, you know, doing volume in the gym, building a base, developing, you know, basic levels of strength so that by the time he's a junior and senior, when you're converting this to more sport specific performance parameters, there's a bigger base, there's going to be a bigger peak. But I think too often these kids are just, you know, the ones I've had, the high school kids, it's like 3-4 days a week they're playing their sport. Then they're going out practicing their sport the other days of the week, and they never dedicate any time to strength and conditioning, to actually getting stronger and more resilient to injury.
Yeah. And I've actually seen that a bunch also, and mostly in America though, because over here the teams are separated from schools. And so you have teams that focus on the strength and conditioning for their kids. But just to give people some tools for that, what would you say are like the necessary exercises, and how many times per week would you say you should be doing that if, let's say, you're in that 14 to 20-year-old range?
So 14 to 20-year-old range, this is hopefully, you know, years before, like what I recommend to more like youth, say like that 7 to 12 range. You know, kids gymnastics, judo, stuff like that, where you can start, you know, developing some balance coordination, you know, your crawling, your rolling skills, stuff like that. Cause it transfers to, sports performance later on, like sprinting speed and stuff.
Yeah.
From 14 to 20, learn how to squat, learn how to deadlift, learn how to, you know, if you're not an overhead athlete, press weight up overhead. it's pathetic the amount of 14 to 20 year old kids that can barely do a pull up if they can even do one at all.
Yeah.
And then from there, let those exercises progress. So as we start developing our squat, let's get stronger in the squat later on. Hopefully by the time they're a junior and a senior, you know, we can start instituting a hang clean so that when we're converting to power, we have more higher strength levels of it. And then, you know, as a senior, maybe we're cleaning from the deck so that we can always progress forward without moving backwards.
Yeah.
Or staying the same.
So, I mean, if I'm going to kind of wrap all that up into something that somebody can just go, okay, these couple things, I'd say like the squat, the deadlift, and then the overhead things that you could do. You don't have to be doing them with a ton of weight necessarily, but you do have to do them with the proper form and try to work up. And I think I see too many people that are, you know, I mean, you see your everyday Joe in the gym, and then you can even see athletes. I see it all the time, actually, and I just go, oh my God, I wish I could say something to this person because their form is just terrible. And so let's say you were to give some keys for just the squat, and I mean, it's pretty much the same for squat and deadlift, but some keys for that just to focus on form, what would you say?
I recommend that all my peers and stuff read Mark Ripito's Starting Strength. It breaks down those lifts and it tells you how to perform them extremely well. It's a great resource for that type of stuff. But most people, like, you know, if I'm going to give advice, you know, it's on the setup. So learning how to properly set up underneath that barbell, I think, is the most important part. Like setting the pelvis, dropping the rib down so your diaphragm's facing your pelvic floor and your breathing can actually be productive. That way, too, anterior tilt is pretty common. So if you're already starting hip flexion, you're going to run out before you're at the depth of the squat, which is going to cause rounding of the lower back. So it's learning how to control your posture before you get under that barbell is important.
Yeah, and we're going to be able to get more information, like you said, about that through, what is it, Mark Ripito's?
Starting Strength.
Starting Strength. Okay, I'll put that in the show notes. And then also coming up on the show, actually literally today, I'm recording with Kelly Starrett. So there'll be some more mobility stuff in there. And speaking of mobility, I mean, later in my career now, my hip mobility is just, and my ankle actually, are terrible. And I realized that so much of my career I spent as like the guy who was like, you know, fast and I could jump high and just natural, you know, physical talent. And I didn't spend a lot of time doing all the stretching and that stuff. You know, you think like, oh, I don't need to do it. You know, I'm good. But you realize at this point, I'm 34 and I'm still playing, you know, national team sports. And it's like my body's going, why? So what would you say are just a couple really good mobility or stretching exercises that everyone should be doing every day?
So what I've come to realize over the course of time, that's, it's maybe not a, you know, stretching exercise that everybody needs to do every single day, but having a good assessment protocol in place if you're a coach is extremely important for this. But most people just don't have the ability to proximally stabilize that spine. So if we don't have that proximal stability of the spine, we can't have proper mobility in distal areas, so like the hips, the ankles, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, practicing some breathing drills where you're actually, you know, setting the pelvis, dropping the rib, gaining that proximal stability, that can help big time. I think, you know, a good strength and conditioning program can definitely help with some of this stuff. But if I had to pick one stretch that everybody should do every day, it's a Kelly Starrett one, actually, but the couch stretch.
Oh, you know, I love this stretch, man.
It hurts so bad sometimes, but it helps kind of reverse everything from sitting down all day long. You know, and at the same time, you're stretching a movement pattern. So you have hip flexion on one side, extension on the other, anterior core is engaged. If you're squeezing that down knee side glute, you're getting some muscle activation there at the same time, too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we've gotten through a ton of stuff here. I definitely want to get into kind of like a little tip jar where we're going to give some quick answers. Some of it will be some of the things we talked about, but just to wrap up for people. But why don't you tell us what's got you most excited these days? What are you working on?
Oh, man, just, you know, the more I can learn, the better. I'm trying to kick off a athletic development program at Total Performance Sports, hopefully, you know, around June. But we can start, you know, looking at the big picture for some of these more developmental athletes where they can start, you know, learning how to move properly, hopefully in like the eighth grade, which is bodyweight squatting, learning the mechanics so that the next year they can take part in a strength and conditioning program that actually progresses over the course of their 4-year high school career. So the idea of peaking as a senior, developing a big base as an underclassman.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. That's something that I know you saw a little bit about Elite Sports Students, the project that I've started with some other athletes. And one of the biggest things that I want to do is offer them something like that. And basically in the form of a course, so that basically, let's say you're anywhere, but via internet, you'd be able to figure that stuff out. So maybe we can collaborate on that a little bit just to see what you're up to and make sure that we keep our stuff high quality. So,
yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, let's get through a tip jar. Kevin, this is going to be your tip jar. You're just going to walk us through a few things and we'll wrap up. But let's say we walk through some of the things you should be doing, you know, during your day and during your night, getting your sleep, all that stuff. Why don't you just walk us through the optimal day and night for an athlete to be successful?
All right. So we wake up, good breakfast. So you're a male athlete, at least 6 to 8 ounces of protein, female athlete, 4 to 6, and this can be adjusted accordingly. 3 to 4 servings of non-starchy vegetables. Depending on the sport, if they're doing more like anaerobic type stuff, let's get some starchy, carbohydrates in there. Drinking water throughout the day. Then from there, you know, hopefully we can do some, you know, mobility stuff first thing in the morning. We tend to be a little lighter, so maybe jump on the foam roller, do some mobility drills, eat some lunch. We're relaxing. Lunch hopefully is going to be like our pre-workout. We work out in the afternoon. Immediately after that, hit up those breathing drills, get that post-workout nutrition in there. Make sure that post-workout nutrition, make sure those carbohydrates are in that meal following, you know, 90 minutes after that post-workout snack. Go back home, take your magnesium bath, shut the freaking lights off, go to bed early, sleep 7 to 9 hours, and repeat again.
Love it. And this is pretty much an athlete's life, especially at the collegiate and then after that pro and national team, man. It's just like every day can be the same, but you can either set yourself up for success or you can set yourself up for failure. So let's say that you are going to have to give a book away as a gift. So not something you're trying to like, in, you know, learn yourself with, but something that you would give away as a gift to someone, what would you give away and why?
Oh man. You know, if it was, you know, even for athletes in general population, I think anything that Charlie Francis has ever written, I think it's important to understand, like, and this guy just knew, like, it was more than just what you're doing on the field. It was how you were recovering, how you were eating, how you were sleeping, how you were managing your stress. Like, he even looked at their financial situations to kind of measure their stress levels. So I think reading anything that he's done, whether you're a coach, an athlete, general population, I think can go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to what you're saying, that it was all-encompassing. And I think that's so important that people don't just look. I mean, you have people like Kelly Starrett who's talking about don't just look at where the pain is. You know, there's a source for that. And then for your life also, I mean, there's a source for the stress that you have in your life, and it's not just coming from sports sometimes. So I like that. I'm gonna write that down. I'll have to get one of those books up here soon. But name one learning resource you love to use for yourself.
I like Mike Boyle, strengthcoach.com. It has a cool little forum that, you know, there's some great coaches on there that answer questions and, you know, contribute. It's a pretty good learning tool.
And what's a tool or habit you love to stay healthy?
Oh man, I just try to practice what I preach. Easier said than done sometimes, but you know, you have a bad day, move on, you know, get everything set up, good to go the following day.
Yeah, I mean, it helps us when we have to coach other people. It keeps us in line, right?
Absolutely. By example.
Exactly. Off season. What's, would you say, one way, like if you were to be able to pick something that you could do in less than an hour, but you could do it a couple times a week at least to stay in shape, because I see a lot of athletes, they don't stay in shape off season. So what would that be?
Now, a couple days a week, definitely, you know, dedicate, say 2 to 3 days, right?
Yeah.
Pick a lift, do it that day. Energy system training for the off season just to maintain some conditioning. And I think you're good to go. I think, you know, it's good to step away and maybe do some other stuff. So maybe your conditioning is playing a different sport. Like that way you can avoid some mental burnout.
Yeah. Let's say you have one, let's say, concern or one way that you wanted to add value to people that's important to you. What would that be and why?
Oh man, one value, sleep more. I mean, I don't care who you are. It tends, you know, the amount of assessments that I've actually done on people, the majority of people, 9 out of 10, aren't sleeping well. Whether you're an elite level performer or whether you're a general population client, if you don't get that in line, you're going to be leaving some performance in the tank.
Awesome. Now, we got two things left, Kevin, before we wrap up. You play some sports, right?
Yeah, I played college soccer, and then I've done the whole MMA stuff for quite a while now.
Yeah, I want people to hear that because I want them to know when you say this that this is coming from experience. So let's say you had a do-over. If you were to start that whole process all over again, knowing everything you know now, what couple key things would you change and why?
Oh man, my nutrition. Like when I was in college, we would get, I think it was $11 per meal per day on a way trip. So I'd be eating like Pop Tarts and Starburst jelly beans to save my money so the seniors could buy me booze when we got back to campus. So I think I would have taken that a lot more serious. Like I don't even know how I was able to survive that period of time on such crappy nutrition and sleep, and I didn't take my workouts that seriously either. You know, I mean, I'd go to the gym. It was a team effort. We'd be there lifting the weights and stuff. But I wish I put more emphasis earlier on, like when I was in high school, actually, you know, kind of developing my strength abilities earlier on, instead of like with soccer, you're playing on two, three different teams at a time. And it was, you know, pretty much 5 days out of the week I was doing something sport related instead of taking part in more strength and conditioning stuff.
Yeah. So better nutrition and more focus on your strength and conditioning. I like that. Before we give listeners ways to connect with you personally and make sure they're up to date with what's going on and able to go to the blogs and read the posts that you've got, because you've actually got some really great ones. So I'm going to link some of them that relate to what we're talking about up. So if you can help me out and send some of those, that'd be great.
Yeah,
But
definitely.
beyond athletic means more than just being an athlete. And I want to teach people how to use their body well, their minds well, and excel in sport and life. And knowing that, and that there's so much more that we can learn from sport through athletics, what would you say is your definition of an athlete?
An elite level athlete should be one that actually leads by example, for one, and always pays it forward.
Yes.
You know, help out the younger kids. Like, you know, I didn't do this as much when I was, you know, in school and stuff, but like, you know, take those freshmen and sophomore under your wings, help them out in the gym, help them out on the field, help them catch up to speed with some of the, you know, changes in the game speed and playbook and stuff like that a little bit earlier. You know, lead by example, though, I think is the biggest one.
Yeah, I love that. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, and I just want you to give some parting pieces of wisdom, because you've already been parted so much, and just how listeners can connect with you, and then we can say goodbye.
All right, so some parting words of wisdom. Eat well, sleep well, train hard, but train smart. You can find me, my site, it's geneticpotentialnutrition.com. You can even check out totalperformancesports.com, one of the best gyms in America. So if you're ever in the area, come rip some weights there. And then breakingmuscle.com and robwolf.com, you can read my.
Wonderful. Well, it was great to have you on, Kevin, and I hope listeners learned a ton, and I hope we can catch up and definitely talk about elite sports students and everything you've got going on, buddy.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.